Hey, Foot, get in a real vehicle. How's that thing run on, strawberry douche? Park it.
I once knew the games until he dies playing.
Playing space cowboy in some back room.
Finish the game! No!
Kill him.
You are about to experience.
I can't fight these video games.
I once knew the games until it dies playing.
I can't play these video games.
Games and More Entertainment Radio.
Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 129. I am C4.
And I'm Kobar.
The website is hwhq.com. The email is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And you can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. The channel is Gamer. All during the week, we're there, hanging out, talking about video games, and nothing but a goddamn wall of YouTube links. I hate you guys. Have you noticed this?
Yeah.
Nothing but you. Like, I seriously have, like, been spending all kinds of time in the other channels I hang out in that I never speak in because I cannot click on our channel now. Because I click over and it's like, I have 20 scroll lines or so right there, and 19 of them are YouTube.
And the worst part is half of them are those stupid video blogs.
Yeah.
Because the chick is hot.
Yeah. Get over yourselves. Okay. Now, we actually have a full-packed friggin' show with, email. People are tuning out. No, but it's really cool because, see, here's the thing. The gamers, that's you guys out there, have answered the call. The call for help. The distress beacon that we sent out. I mean, seriously, it's been freaking bleak out here. And we got an email, actually a couple weeks ago, and I had to have Christian send it a second time because it disappeared in the spam filters. Oh, yeah. A jam-packed show with actually lots of really good stuff because the emails, see, they're not generally just the kind of quick short ones here. Yeah, there's one or two in there that are kind of short. In fact, we'll probably knock those out first and go get to the longer ones a little bit later. But they're very in-depth reviews of stuff, which is great because we don't have anything new to talk about. I mean, last week we did, I thought, a good job. You know, we had some things to talk about. This week, we're bone dry again. There's nothing that, like, you know, has emerged. I guess there's that Final Fantasy VII, Dirge of
Cerberus.
And what? That's like a what?
It's like a third-person shooter or some...
Third-person action shooter from Squeenix?
Yeah.
I don't know about that so much, and I don't know if our listeners really care.
Well, I've heard it's not all that good.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't stop me from talking about crappy movies.
Well, you like to complain, so.
I do. Now, the top topic, well, at least the special topic, the notable thing I wanted to bring up at the beginning of the show, I thought I wanted to single out somebody, and that's Mr. Kizzle, who is the man. Most of you that are, well, maybe not most of you, but quite a good chunk of our listeners know who he is because of his involvement in the pre-podcast internet radio era and the excellent work that he has done. And he's actually really a cool guy, hangs out with us all the time in IRC and whatnot, and does some really cool things. Basically, motivates lazy people. And that is...
us.
Yeah. We are the very definition of lazy. And he took it upon himself to email Odd Labs, the guys that made Tribal Trouble that Kobar talked about last episode, which... I failed to mention this during the time of the recording last week, and in fact, I mentioned it right after we finished, was that I had trouble getting it to work on Slackware that day that we were playing around with it. He had no trouble on his laptop, which is...
SUSE.
10.1? Okay. Yeah. But I have since solved my problem. It's amazing what looking at the error log will do for you. It, like, solves things and stuff. It's great. And I was actually able to dink around with it myself a little bit. And then, so Kizzle goes out and emails the guys and tells them that we talked about it. And this is Tribal Trouble from Odd Labs. And the guy, crap, I don't have his name on the notes, but the company, Odd Labs, he sent us two keys to register the game, which is sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Because now we can do an actual, like, full review on, like, an indie game,
mm-hmm.
which is sweet. Now, the problem is we're not doing it this week, not only because, one, it would be kind of, I don't know, weird doing it 2 weeks in a row,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
And I just got the key today. And
right, yeah. And Kobar didn't have time to play around with it at all. And on top of that, I think it would be like the perfect thing for the Linux show, whenever we get the hell around to doing that, which now we have yet one more excuse to delay for two more weeks on, because Well, I still cannot get Skype to work properly to save my life for what our purposes are. It bails out on me and does some funky stuff. However, there's other things we can look at. I might even have to just suck it up and record the Linux show in Windows, because I swear it will work. And anyway, we're going to figure all that out at some other point in time. But that was really cool. I wanted to say mad props to Kizzle and Odd Labs. That's really cool.
It's also nice to give Dan a chance to get settled in. Not
yeah,
move.
Just moving. Yeah. So, and we actually have... Now, before everybody tunes out for the next month, content for the next 2 weeks. And we can thank Mr. Ribo for that one. We're going to bring that up at the end of the episode here to explain exactly what we're going to do. The fall preview lineup, and brought to you by Mr. Ribo Flavin. So let's jump into the email here. We've got an email from Frozen Walkway. And this is about email for Snakes on a Plane. Now, this is like the most popular goddamn movie on the internet that I have like ever seen in my life. This is all people talk about and like make jokes about.
Yeah, both famous and infamous.
Yeah. And so let me just start the email here. The reason why, and this is all shouting caps, the reason why this movie will own is because it's one of the biggest internet memes that is coming to pass to the public. The movie was supposed to be called something like Flight B-17. I think it was Flight 121. And I think another working title for it was Anaconda 3. See, this is how much it gets in your head. Like, yeah, I haven't seen it or anything. I just know all this stuff about it. But Samuel is like, nah, fuck that. Snakes on a Plane! I want to see this movie, please, and thank you. Oh, and the Halo movie got a director. He's made a few shorts, which in my opinion are really good. Really good name is Neil Blomkamp. Search that name in Google Video or YouTube to find his short films. That's from Frozen Walkway. The next email is from some fat chick. Oh, wait. Heifer. The email is from Heifer. And, oh, that's right. See, now I've tied all these in rather nicely, I do believe, here. We have, this first one is about the PlayStation, if I remember right. Uh-huh. This is, let's be fair about this. And I'm glad somebody finally got a chance to call us out on this. Okay. Hey, C4 and Kobar, I think the main reason everyone's pissed off at Sony right now isn't because the PS3 will be the worst invention next to the inflatable dartboard. But it is actually due to people having a natural tendency to criticize whoever's holding most of the market share at the time. People seem to be more inclined to flame Sony because its products are well known and the critics can feel helpful thinking they've spoken for the underdog. But truth be told, no psychic wannabes in their sober minds can know who will do the best in the seventh generation of console gaming. Yes, Phil Harrison has a negative IQ. Yes, Sony's shares are dropping. And yes, the PlayStation 3 costs more than a low-end computer. But if the Blu-ray can do for the PS3 what the DVD did for the PS2, then it's really anybody's guess. I'm not saying Sony's doing well right now. They obviously aren't. With the kinds of PRs they have, and I understand where all the Sony haters are coming from, but here's a reminder. In the late 80s and early 90s, Nintendo had over 90% of the gaming market. And the media was quick to catch every little mistake they made because the people soaked that up like sponges. Nintendo took advantage of their monopoly to create many scandals such as under-table ways to suppress Sega sales. Every gamer knew Nintendo had the best fix, but they wanted some bad news so they could have something to complain about. Before parents complained about Grand Theft Auto giving their kids violent behavior, they complained about Mario Kart giving their kids epilepsy. And everyone was up in arms when they found out how the Nintendo president at the time exploited Miyamoto by underpaying him for his globally renowned creations, Mario and Donkey Kong. Speaking of which, I think Mario is the most overrated character ever. A few episodes ago, you guys wondered why he's so famous. I've got three main reasons. First, he was the first human in a game which actually had somewhat of a memorable storyline. Hell, the game even had a plot twist. Thank you, Mario, but our princess is in another castle. Second, it's a very accessible game. Unlike Zelda, where sometimes you walk around for hours figuring out what in the Hyrule I'm supposed to do next, I know for a fact that all Mario has to do is move right. And third, Super Mario Bros. Came prepackaged with almost every Nintendo Entertainment System sold. These days, we have optional bundles, but back then there wasn't a choice. You get the game whether you want it or not. The last method was so effective, in fact, Blizzard tried it out a while ago. That's partly why WoW has over 50% of the MMO market today, because every Dell and other computers from major dealing websites ship a free copy of it with any PC that you buy. Dirty marketing trick, I say, but it seems to work very well. You guys are doing an awesome job, so keep it up, Heifer.
All right, now, I agree with the overall idea of this. Yeah, something gets really popular and famous. The mistakes they make tend to shine out more. But first of all, Sony's making some big mistakes this time. And second of all, the whole Blu-ray thing is a joke. I mean, to say that that the PS3 is going to be a good gaming machine because it can play Blu-ray movies.
That's not what he's saying. He's not saying it's going to be a good gaming machine because it has a place, it has a Blu-ray drive. He's saying it's going to be successful. See, but if the Blu-ray can do for the PS3 with the DVD for the PS2, and do you remember when the PS2 came out? It was far below the cost of a DVD player,
mm-hmm.
a standalone DVD player. People bought it in Japan, not the fuck here so much, in Japan mainly, for a DVD player. That put it into the homes, and those homes tend to have kids. They gotta have the occasional game.
Right.
You know, who's gonna babysit on Saturday night, you know? Rockstar Games, baby. They're there to take care of your youngins.
I don't know. I agree with you, but I still say that they're making some pretty huge mistakes.
They're making... Right, see, it's tough to combat this because right now Sony is top dog, you know? It's tough to say, no, we're not saying that because Sony's the top. We're saying it because of this fact and that fact and that fact and that fact, even though they're true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to cut through that, well, how much of this is just trying to knock off the top guy? You know, like, I understand where he's coming from, but I don't think that's entirely right this time around. Sony blew it on the conference, and that has a lot to do with how successful your product is viewed. And if the product is viewed as a piece of crap, it fails. It doesn't have to be a good item. Look at Beta. It doesn't have to be a superior product. It just has to be believed to be a superior product. Now, mm-hmm. Sony is probably going to claim Blu-ray is the next thing since, you know, DVDs, you know, and I tend to disagree, but that's not what they're going to market. And Sony, sure, they're getting bad PR now, but they have some of the best spin doctors in history of any company that I can think of. I mean, think about it. Sony can, they go ahead and backdoor gajillions of computers and hose them, and what'd they get? Not a goddamn thing for it.
Yeah,
right?
No one looks down on them at all for it.
Nope, you know, I mean, it's, yeah. You and me and the rest of the Slashdot crowd do.
Right.
You know, but beyond that, nobody knows about it, really. You know, I bring it up to the random dude who's walking to Best Buy for a $300 e-machine that week, you know. They don't fucking know. They don't care. They got a Sony TV, and they like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like it. You know why? Because they paid for that. It's a Sony product. Sure, there's a Samsung right next to that 42-inch big screen that's $800 less, but that's $200 per letter I'm paying for mine to say Sony on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it, just like their computers. $50 per letter. I swear to God. I'm telling you, man. They have excellent marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you never know. We don't know what's going to happen, obviously. I think we have tried to make that clear. However, we've also made it very clear, I'm not rooting for Sony.
No, and this is not an unbiased show.
Right. Believe me. I can't stand Sony for so many reasons, okay? But I openly admit, of the consoles that I've got, the PlayStation 2 is probably the most played.
Because it's got the biggest library.
Right. That doesn't mean they're all good.
No.
Although, oddly enough, I have, like, almost twice as many Xbox games. Do you realize that?
Wait, but how many of them aren't even open?
No, only like two or three. And I've got easily that many PlayStation 2 games that aren't opened also. My problem is my drive doesn't work in my Xbox, so I can't really do anything with it anymore other than use it for like a media center.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to an email from UT Soul Reaver. And the title of this email was fantastic. You know your console will fail when... And I knew that this had something to do with Sony before I clicked on it. When the editor of the official magazine for your console says she won't be buying it. Now, the URL to this is tinyurl.com/RM8, that's a number, O, that's not a number, and 2, that's a number. And this is Dana. This is her 1UP blog editor for OPM. So ultimately, I can't... Okay, this is her quote now on her blog. If you read the article, basically she goes on to explain how costly it is, they don't get free hardware working there, you know, for their personal use, yada, yada, yada. Does this work for her?
Mm-hmm.
Sony's, you know, newest console. And she ends it with, so ultimately, I can't justify it. $600 is a lot of money, especially when I can get what, for me at least, will be a very similar experience for $400. I would like to own a PlayStation 3, and I hope that the price drops soon so I can consider it. But until then, this official PlayStation Magazine editor will have to join the dark side. UT Soul Reaver says, I LOL'd. Thanks, Soul. And I'm pretty sure I laughed out loud, too, on that one. I was enjoying that story. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's good.
But I'm on her side. I'm in that camp. I don't think Sony's making the right decisions this time. I think they're liars. I really think that they...
Well, they always have been.
Well, I think they're going a little far even for Sony this time, even with the whole movable...
Motion-sensitive
controller thing and all
that. Which they say is still a piece of crap.
Yeah. Well, look at it.
It just doesn't work.
Now, think about this also. On the Wii, you've got two independently moving things. How cool is that?
And they're very sensitive.
Right. Now, try to rock your controller back and forth. You can only move it, like, kind of left to right and tilt it forward and backward, really. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot of movement there.
As well as you have to really move it, like in the E3 demo when they're doing Warhawk.
The guy's moving all over the place. Nobody wants to do that.
Not if they don't have to, then if they have to.
Right, right. We shall see. This next email starts, one of the two long ones for the show, is from Christian. This is, remember the joke I made about send your applications for show host a while back?
Yeah, I'm getting fired.
Yeah. This is Game Radio co-host submission. And let's see, Christian says, not really. The show would... This is in quotes here. Go down the toilet faster than an unwanted pregnancy on prom night, to steal a line from Dr. Venture. Okay, hey C4 and Kobar, it's been a while, but over the last few weeks, I've been shocked! What's up with the show consistency all of a sudden? A new show nearly every week, and each an hour and a half long. Come on, where's my 1-2 shows a month at 3 hours a pop? In all seriousness, though, it's awesome to see you guys kicking out new shows as often as you have. A new show a week certainly eases the pain of an unforgiving work week. Ha, irony, considering upon writing we entered into the week of accursed heat in the house of C4, and then Kobar stricken with the plague. Yeah, I know, I couldn't believe that. Let's see, in regards to the criticism of your efforts to put out a Linux gaming show, do whatever the hell you want. It's your show. Honestly, it's summer, there's nothing at all happening in the world of our hobby. What better time to try out new topics? Exactly what we're saying. I wanted to write in some follow-up to a few issues in show 127, the DS Lite charger cable. Thank God we can get this damn matter resolved, man. This has been driving me crazy. I took a look at the two chargers side by side, and there are some numerical differences in the specs between the charger for the DS Fat and the DS Lite, and not just in the model number of the two items, but it's all jargon to me. Once I get my Digicam back, I can throw some pictures in the forums for the populace to digest. As for why the change in the physical connection, my best guess would be so they could get as small a form factor out of the light as possible, since lining up the FAT's connector to the DS light takes up a significant amount of real estate. Who's to say the answer may forever elude us? Next topic was Mario Kart in the arcades. Indeed, sometime last year, Nintendo and Namco formed a superhero-like duo, and the result was Mario Kart Arcade GP. Wikipedia has all the details. en.wikipedia.org/wiki/Mario_Kart_Arcade_GP. The M, the K, the A, and the GP are caps. Sounds awesome. I'd certainly like to try it, but finding a decent arcade is like, eh. I was going to take a jab at Sony, but you get the idea. More...
I think it's only in Japan anyway.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that would have been rough to find. More Final Fantasy VI for the C4? Well, a port or remake, not sure which, was confirmed by... Uh-oh. Wait a minute. No way. Confirmed by Squeenix for the GBA some time ago. Unfortunately, like Final Fantasy III and Crystal Chronicles for the DS until this past E3, nothing is really known except that it's coming. Eventually. I suspect we may know more once Final Fantasy III, Crystal Chronicles DS, is that what that is?
I guess.
And Final Fantasy XII have all been released, although at that point, why you'd release it for the GBA is beyond me. Yeah, really, why the hell? They need to change that and release Final Fantasy VI Remake for the Nintendo DS. Soundwave Superior. I'd love to build these though. Soundwave Superior. Constructicons Inferior. If only. Personally, I'm really, really worried about the upcoming Transformers movie. Though, if you've kept up with the more recent offerings into the Transformers world, Armada, Energon, Cybertron, it'd be hard for anybody not to be cynical. Anyway, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but last I heard, Soundwave won't be making an appearance in next year's film. He was originally included in the Decepticons ranks as a helicopter or some crap. What the hell? However, urging on Hasbro's part that Soundwave should have a musically related alternative form, one way or the other, the film team decided to hold off on him until the next movie. We may have dodged a bullet, because I don't know how I feel about Optimus Prime being a long-nosed rig with flame decals all over. Yes, to ease the confusion, Optimus in the movie will be a long-nosed cab truck with flames painted on the chassis, not a fire truck. Thank God. And with that, I return to the ether. Take care, guys. Christian. Yeah, Christian's fine. Forget that robo-nonsense. Peace. Oh, yeah. Christian. Now, I'm glad to hear that Optimus isn't going to be a goddamn fire truck like the rumors were. I actually think I'd picked that up before somewhere. Like a long time ago, though. Mm-hmm. And kind of blew that one off. And I would have shit a transformer brick. It would have been ugly. It would have been a shit-a-con if Soundwave was going to be a goddamn helicopter. I mean, Jesus, people, what's wrong with you?
Mm. Yeah, and he won't be in it. We got right. An official list.
Yeah, the list of the guys, that's right.
And a lot of them is people that neither C4 or I really...
not think of.
Yeah. But anyway, I think
I'm also not a huge fan and haven't seen any Transformers-related thing other than the movie since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So to me, the Transformers are still metal toys that kicked ass.
Right.
Not these plastic has-beens of themselves. From Tommy, I'm going to need a deep breath for this email. We're 20 minutes into the show. This is going to carry us into about 2.5 hours.
Here we go.
So grab some popcorn.
The cushion effect is in full swing.
This is 0.7 font, 2 pages. No. Holy Christ. What the hell? This is like 3 pages long. Okay. However, this is going to, like, it's worth it, though. It's 2.5 or some crap. It is absolutely worth it, though, because it's set up to be, like, the uber review of the Xbox 360. And I'm really excited about this email because we haven't really... we don't have one, so we can't, you know, get all excited over ourselves about it and talk about it in depth.
In-depth review.
You know, yeah. I mean, the most I've played with it is dinking around with it at a few people's homes for 5 minutes at a time.
Mm.
You know, I mean, literally, that's it. I have not actually sat down and played more than 30 minutes, I'd say, total, ever on one. Honest to God. I mean, that might even be stretching it. I just don't have one. So, here's the thing. This is from Tommy. Hi, fellas. First off, I have some remarks regarding your previous shows. It's been a while since you got your Creative Labs X-Fi, and you were boosting its quality. I was wondering if you were still using your $2 mics. Yes, we are. let's see. Next, in my humble opinion, you cover entertainment and more, so there should be a great game on a weird platform like Phantom. Oh, the Phantom, which is dead, by the way. I would expect you to mention just to let me know what I am missing. Just to let me know what I'm missing, so go ahead with Linux gaming. Boy, I butchered that, didn't I? I should try that again. Next, in my humble opinion, you cover entertainment and more, so there should be a great game on a weird platform like the Phantom, which is dead, by the way. I would expect you to mention it, just to let me know what I am missing. So go ahead with the Linux gaming. That's great, because I do like talking about like weird random game stuff, and I think we're at least so far working more. We're getting the indie games in there. We're slowly working things in. We can't do a drastic format change. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, people would shit. we have to ease it on you.
We didn't really talk about the Phantom because we knew damn well that it was never going to survive.
It wasn't going anywhere.
It was XVID for gaming. I mean,
yeah, DivX. Seriously, it was not going to happen. All your shows got me thinking about gameplay, graphics, and all that. It occurred to me, what is important is the immersion factor, how much you're getting drawn into the game. I think gameplay, graphics, sound, difficulty, vibration, controller, etc. all contribute to this. That is why you always get the same remarks. Wow, great graphics, but what about the gameplay? So all ingredients are required for a good game. I think it also explains why first-person shooters always have been so popular. It's the same way as you see the world as such in a very intuitive interface. But to give another example, I think Pong sucks on about every platform except on its original platform with its original controller. The original controller only had one fire button and a big dial that just plays totally different. That's why FPSs suck on a console. Which brings me to my following point. I bought an Xbox 360! Yes, I am happy with it. I bought the premium with an extra wireless controller. Dead or Alive 4 and Burnout Revenge and 3 months of live. I played on a normal 28-inch CRT widescreen TV. For your information, my previous console was a PlayStation gathering dust now. Holy crap, he jumped from a PlayStation to an Xbox 360. No wonder you're excited. Woo! Alright, now let's see the console. Although, I must say, he didn't miss much. I mean, honestly, I remember before these three current generation consoles came out, and I know we have it recorded somewhere, me saying all three of them suck.
Mm-hmm.
And sure in the shit, you wind up either not buying any of them because they suck and saving a whole lot of time and money, or you get all three of them and you kind of hate yourself a little inside for doing it.
You're trying to piece together a decent entertainment system.
Seriously. I mean, honest to God, you don't need all that. You know? You really don't. There's a handful of good games on each one. Where's the Dominator? Where's the one that's like 30 games that you cannot live without, and then some other crap peppered throughout the other ones, you know? We didn't have that this time around, really. I mean, now you could probably look back on it and say, well, the PlayStation 2 has that many more good games than the rest, maybe. You know, I'm fairly certain. However, that wasn't the case up until maybe a year ago.
Its controller sucks my ass anyway.
And it's, right, exactly. And there's other reasons to dislike the PlayStation 2. No, I think he's dead right, too, about the whole factor. This is why I bring up control so much. I'm not bitching entirely about the controller. Okay, granted, a lot has to do with that. I'm bitching about the controls because if for one split second I'm taken out of that game because I have to figure out where the hell, you know, the drink mana potion button is again, something's wrong with the control system for me for that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just like he says, the immersion factor. When was the last time you played a game that was so good that, like, you would come home and sit down and play until it was, like, well past the time that you told yourself that you had to be to bed by and did not realize that amount of time went past?
It's been too damn long.
Dude, it's been forever that I can recall a game that just, like, sucked me in that much, right? I used to come home from school, you know, I mean, 10 years ago plus, thinking about a game all day just to get home to play it. And the minute I would get home and sit down with that controller, it was like 4 o'clock in the morning all of a sudden. And you're like, wow. But you got somewhere and you felt good about it. And like you weren't thinking about bills and people and phone calls and even dinner or food or any of that crap. You were just gone. You know? And it was beautiful. And I cannot get that back. And I'm wondering why. That's been a big, big problem. I cannot seem to pull that back. I think the biggest thing that kills it is multiplayer gaming. It rips you right out of it when some dude is like, LOL, we pwned that noob, you know? And it's just like, man, these people suck, you know? And then, I mean, even if you're playing something like, let's say you're playing an MMO on a role-playing server, no less. And let's say that these jackasses are talking like they think you're supposed to for a role-playing person. They don't do it well enough, you know, and it's not consistent with the game world itself usually, and it rips you right out.
Well, and the problem with that, real quick, is how many times have you been in, I don't know how many role-playing servers you've played on, but sometimes you actually get yelled at for role-playing on a role-playing
right.
server.
Well, right, but I mean, that goes back to the lead speak type guy, you know, they're just off. And I mean, I don't know, I just miss that. I miss being able to zone out and just, like, enjoy a game. That hasn't happened in a long time. Like, I can sit down and play Dungeon Siege for a couple hours, but I'm watching a movie, I'm not really paying attention, you know, I'm checking email at the same time. I'm doing all kinds of other things. I'm just blowing stuff away. Like, I remember when Doom 3 came out, I locked myself in the house all by myself with the lights off, and that got me good. Because it blocked out the other, you know, any extraneous thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd shut off the other monitors and whatnot, and it was all dark and creepy, and I was into that. But it was short-lived. It was just a short game. I need something deep. Something long and involved. I want to cry again. I want to shed a tear for a video game again. When was the last time you were that into a game that you had some kind of an emotional attachment? You were that into the story that you cared? Think about the most games today. You're like, oh, I don't know, this dude and that other guy are my fighters, and that guy casts healing, and I don't know where this guy came from, but he's tagging along with us. Where's the love? Where's the, like, oh, man, this is little C4. He's the party thief, all right? This poor guy here had this awesome girlfriend, and now she's in a coma, and he got, you know, mixed up with some bad shit, and he's in this other town, and he runs across this chick trying to escape the like, patroller city police-type people and escape, and he sees that she's in trouble and tries to help her and falls in love, and, you know what I mean? Like, where's the story and the detail? And
I actually really liked Final Fantasy X's story. That was the last time... See, this needs
yes, I am happy with it. I bought the...
This episode needs to be on TV, because your body language for the last, like, 10 minutes has been great. No, the game sucks, but that's why I ended up playing it for, like, 50 hours, was because the story was actually engrossing, and it had to be at least a little good, because now every role-playing game ever since has copied that story.
Right, right. Okay, what about Dragon Quest VIII?
Dragon Quest VIII was good, but the story was just kind of there, like most other RPGs. I mean, I'm sure other people would disagree with me, but it didn't really grab me.
It's high time I played Final Fantasy VI again, I think. Just to, like, remind myself that video games don't suck. Seriously. I have to play it every couple of years. I really do, start to finish. It takes me for days, because I forget it all.
Right.
It's crazy. It's bizarre. In any case, let's see. Now, the rest of this email, like, he sets up, like a review here, which is awesome. It's broken down into sections for us and whatnot. So he talks about the console first. I think it's a nice design, nice form factor, and pretty straightforward to use. The power supply is huge, but who cares? I also don't have any heating problems. It just lays flat on a wooden floor behind it. Well, that's why you don't have any heating problems.
You don't have carpet stuck enough in there.
Yeah. And seriously, I could care two shits about the power supply myself, too. Most of the time, you shove that crap behind the TV. You know, okay. Oh, but it'll overheat. There's a spot for it, I guarantee you, where there's not a bunch of shit around it. Look, harder.
Yeah, okay. I'd probably just put it in a book or something.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, you can get around. Hang it from two pieces of string. The controller. First off, you know what you need to do? You need to set it on top of your GameCube that's not being used anyway.
Yeah.
That's what you can do with it. Let's see. The controller. First off, I am a huge fan of the PlayStation 2 DualShock. Having said that, I think the 360 wireless controller is brilliant. Good layout. My 7-year-old could instantly use it. Everything is within reach. Also, good build quality as far as I'm concerned. Weight feels good. I also use a battery pack. It's so relaxed that you can power off on and off remotely without any wires. Microsoft understands we are lazy. You can use the big X button to interrupt the game. You get some options. More on that later. If you hold it for longer, then it asks you to turn the controller or controllers and console. What does that say?
Either the controller or the controller and console.
Oh, okay, to switch off. Oh, okay, I got it. Okay, the headset is connected to the controller, which is wireless, so that is very convenient. That brought up an interesting thing. I did not know if that worked or not, wireless. I guess it does. See, we learned something today. At least one thing, and we just got started. So I know some of our other listeners are really, you know, not everybody has a damn Xbox 360, okay? And not everybody knows everything about it already, like some of you out there. I haven't had to replace the batteries just yet. The other controller, I recharged one time using a USB cable. You can just keep playing. If the batteries run out, the light around the big X button starts to animate. First, I didn't know what it meant, so I kept playing. After 4 hours of playing, I recharge it, so it gives an early warning. That's awesome, a 4-hour early warning.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That is so like, oh my god, these people are lazy. We better let them know well ahead of time, because you know how gamers are. You must stop playing now. Hold on, I'll beat it in a minute! Give me just another second, I'll be right there! Let me finish this last room! Alright, the interface is called the dashboard, and is nice and bright and clearly laid out. You have four screens. Number one, the main screen, where you are logged into Xbox Live. It does that automatically, but it's optional. Here you can also access the live marketplace. Number two is games. Here you can watch game videos, play demos, play live arcade games, or just play your game, which is in the drive. And, let's see, number three, media. Here you can watch and listen to photos, music, and videos. You can access photos and music from MP3 players, also MTP players and iPod. What the hell is MTP?
I have no clue.
Me neither. Cameras and external hard drives. Unfortunately, you cannot copy the files. Also, it won't play or show movies. A big minus, but somewhat understandable from Microsoft's point of view. Regarding pirating, etc. Also, if you run Windows Media Connect, which is a free download, then you can access your photo and MP3 from your desktop PC. It uses Universal Plug and Play Protocol. There are also open and closed source alternatives, so if you have a Linux server, you can You can also share them with your Xbox. If you have a Media Center, you can use it as an extender. I don't have it, so I don't know how that works. I actually have set that up before. Let's see, it's nothing special. I do know that there is a hack so you can play SNES games on your 360 using a Media Center through an emulator, but it's beta and quirky. Number four, the system screen. Here you can change all the settings, like HDTV, PAL, NTSC, network settings, and more, all pretty straightforward. Xbox Live Marketplace. You pay 60 euros per year, and basically you get access to online gaming and download service. You can also send messages in voice chat. It's all pretty much granny-proof, so dead easy. The marketplace is divided up into several categories like games, videos, demos, themes, etc. I was absolutely amazed at how much content is on there and how much is free. I filled up my 20 gig hard drive in 3 days. Movie trailers in high definition quality. Everything is HDTV or DVD quality. You can choose when you download. GameSpot stuff. MTV series like Pit My Ride, which do cost money, but they're cheap. Red vs. Blue, music, etc. Almost every game you can download a demo. That, my friends, is probably worth the $60 a year right there.
Oh, yeah.
Or how much is it in the U.S.?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have no clue now.
I know there's the regular version that's free.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's premium version. Like the one you pay for, you probably have to pay to use that much bandwidth. But that's still pretty damn cool, though. Like, the ability to have demos for people that don't just have... like magazine subscriptions and want to wait a month, you know, that's asinine. It was the best we could do at the time. But now that we have, you know, broadband all over the damn place, you know, this is the way to go. Microsoft did this right. I mean, mark those words. They're not going to be said too often in my lifetime, okay? I think Microsoft really, really made some correct decisions, but they had to learn. You know, they're not Jesus. They're not perfect. They had to learn. They fell flat on their face. I mean, as far as the market was concerned with the Xbox... So, they learned, but the thing is, they actually adapted and learned and made it work, I think, because it does work really well. I've seen people use it before, and I'm just like, dude, I want that. I want to check that out for free? Holy shit, let me get it. Oh, come on, give me the control. No? Oh, man, come on now. People don't let me play their Xboxes. I'll be there all day. All right, I forgot how relaxed the controls are when playing games. No waiting in download queues and downloading with 4 kilobytes per second. No weird installers that fuck up your system. No driver issues and no crap gameplay because your 4 gigahertz PC with 2 gigs of memory and your NVIDIA GeForce 7900 GT Ultra is too slow. You know, we were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Talking about how that's a big problem with the PC.
The
market.
Xbox Premium Pack and 2 games is like... less than the cost of, like, a high-end video card. Mm-hmm. Or the same cost as a high-end video card.
Yeah.
It's the same cost as 2 gigs of high-end DDR2.
Yeah.
It's the same cost of, like, an ass-kicking Conroe processor and a fat motherboard.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention you got to get a case, power supply, cables, monitor. Floppy drives, burners, bam. Sound cards.
You're looking at $2,000.
Easy.
That's going to become obsolete in the same amount of time as the 360.
Yep. But the Xbox 360 will keep playing some nice looking games. Now, granted, your computer will too, but you will have a much easier time dealing with it on your Xbox. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you sit down in front of your computer. Like, I'm looking at my computer. 6800 video card, you know, GeForce, 2 gigs of RAM, 3.4 gigahertz Pentium 4, and I've been playing fucking Quake 3 and Warcraft 3 for a month. And it's like, why? I would have felt a lot
part of that's your problem.
Well,
there are some decent games that
No, there are, but definitely. I've been playing Dungeon Siege 2 also. Not as much as I'd like, but still.
Yeah, I had mentioned it because they're always saying, oh, piracy is the cause of this. Piracy. It's like... You think maybe people are just getting tired of spending $2,000 when they can spend $400?
The only people that really need computers that are that high-end are gamers and, like, if you're decoding the human genome. I mean, we're in that class of power user.
Yeah.
Seriously, does your mom need a 3 gigahertz PC for anything?
No.
No. You'd be surprised what 500 megahertz can still do. It's not like it got slower, you know? Seriously, sit down in front of a clean install of whatever the hell operating system.
It did get a little slower because everything you do got faster, or more complex.
Well, you don't have...
Like, even things like Flash has gotten burlier and more complex since Flash 1.
Yeah, that's a good point, but still.
But...
You can get away with the $300 e-machine just fine unless you're playing video games, a software developer, or some kind of... biotech dude. I swear to God.
Or someone with very serious ADHD.
You know, yeah. You know, that's why some of us had to move to multiple computers. If I pick up where we left off, it's not going to sound right, because that was like two paragraphs that should have been read together. We stopped in the middle for how much PCs suck. So let me just, like, go back over what he said, because he makes a very valid point. I forgot how relaxed consoles are We left that word out because it's not in there. When playing games, no waiting in download queues and downloading at 4 kilobytes per second, no weird installers that fuck up your system, no driver issues, no crap gameplay because your 4 gigahertz PC with 2 gigs of memory and your NVIDIA GeForce 7900 GT Ultra is too slow. No. You confirm your download, go play another game while it downloads in the background, you can even queue your downloads, and then you get to play it. How sweet is that? Xbox Live Arcade. Here you can play and download simple games, 25 to 50 megabytes per download. Costs vary between 400 or 800 points. That's something like $5 or $10. It comes with one free game, Hexic, H-E-X-I-C, which is a simple puzzle game, but it's always fun to play and kill some time. Arcade is filled with a lot of classic games like Pac-Man, Frogger, Galaga, Gauntlet, Smash TV, and cost around 400 points. Street Fighter II Hyper Fighting is 800 points. All the stuff here you can download as a demo, and if you like it, you can unlock it to a full game. Everything has a very professional feel to it. Even if you play Frogger, you get box art, leaderboards, etc. That is awesome. That said, Frogger is too small for the screens. I already bought two games through Live Arcade, so I guess that says something about the quality of the games and the demos. Like, just got this. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you know, already buying. Now, see, this is my fear, man. That's like a freaking EB in my living room. You know what I mean? That's dangerous when the credit card is within reach, you know? I mean,
yeah, that's like that direct-to-drive stuff for games that I don't care.
Yeah.
That sort of stuff really ends up hurting me.
Seriously. And see, also, Microsoft sometimes releases free games. For example, next Wednesday, they will release Texas Hold'em Poker. If you download it in the first 2 days, you get the full game. After that, you have to pay. Now for the games I've got. I am a huge fighting game fan. My favorite is Tekken. However, Namco doesn't get it, not even in Tekken Dark Resurrection for the PSP, nor or Tekken 5 did they include online play. So I checked out Dead or Alive 4. It has everything. Unlockables, great intros, different fighting modes like story, survival, tag team, etc. The levels and characters are amazing. You have playfield consisting sometimes of 5 levels. I advise you check out the review at Game Trailers. In that review, they point out the game has a steep learning curve. Nothing is more true. This game is difficult. However, that's a plus for me, since with some effort you can get really skilled and you see the difference. With Tekken, people can go far with button mashing. The game also plays fast. How fast, you ask? As fast as a rabbit squirrel on crack. If you don't watch out, your game can finish within the blink of an eye. What about online play? Timing is of the essence in a fighting game. To solve this, they slow down the game during play. That means if somebody extremely lags, the game becomes a slideshow. Having said that, today I had a great time with somebody in the UK. I live in Holland. The game played at full speed pretty much, I couldn't tell the difference, while we were chatting. So much fun if you beat the crap out of somebody 400 miles away and you hear them yell, moan, and swear. Also, my first achievement was 10 losses in an online game. An achievement is an icon, like a picture, you can unlock that adds points to your game score. I thought it sounded dumb when I first heard about it, but it does keep you getting back to a game. Burnout Revenge. That's a cool idea too, I think, you know.
But rewarding you for losing?
Well, it's a milestone, you know.
Right.
I don't know about an achievement.
It's like a badge.
You know, yeah. I got owned. Burnout Revenge. Looks great, plays great, but I think if you've played another Burnout, you know what the story is. Online play works great again, having voice adds to the immersion. End of review. Halo 2. As you might know, this game works through emulation. It's flawless. I couldn't tell the difference when playing the game. Updating the game is a different story. After the first update, it froze. After downloading it, resettled like an update, and it froze again. When the game was in the drive, the Xbox refused to boot. So that was rather crap. However, the game plays fine, and since then I haven't had any issues. Marble Blast Ultra. This arcade game is basically a cross between Marble Madness, a puzzle game, and a platform game. It uses the Torque engine, that's from Tribes, and looks great. Sound is good too. The controls are perfect. It's a simple game, but for some reason it's really fun to play. I played this a lot with my 7-year-old as well. There is also an online mode, and each level you complete gets automatically entered into a huge high score list, which they call leaderboards. I once had a lousy score, so if you check, then you can see that about 100,000 are better than you. Oh, that's rough. That's rough seeing, oh, I'm only in 247,965th place. I'm doing good. On the same level, I had a good score. 25,000 people are better than me. I had an unbeatable great score. 8,000 people better than me. I think it's fun to get up the ladder. Also, you can compare with your friends, so that is a smaller list. Uno. Now, this is a card game. Fun, simple party card game. A bit difficult to explain. It has a special deck, special rules, just relax to play online. I'm sure a lot of people play the Uno card game. It's actually kind of fun. Let's see. Talks about demos now. I played much more, but these really stand out. Lost Planet. I thought this game was crap before I played. This one is going to be great. Fight Night. Controls sucked. My character even punched when I didn't push any buttons. Rumble Roses, the porn simulator. I just kept pushing A so I could play. I ended up in a photoshoot mode of so scantily clothed babes. I had to exactly search for the wrestling game. I wasn't impressed with the game. Project Gotham Racing looks great. Perhaps I'll pick this up as well. Cameo. When I played the pod in the store, I think it sucked. There is a new demo out which you can download. I was very impressed. The graphics were amazing. Still not my type of game, but a good game to show off with. Namco sucks. They had nothing to download, not even trailers. 99 Nights, massive battles, but for me the novelty quickly wears off. However, on the forum, some people are very hyped about it. Dead Rising. In short, if you saw the movie Day of the Dead, which I can recommend anyway, this is the game. You play a photographer in a zombie-filled shopping mall, and you can use anything to kill them. Stuffed bear, sign, sledgehammer, bowling ball, katana. It's an amazing game to look at, but gameplay is great. Unfortunately, the demo doesn't show anything about the story. However, there are some trailers that show that. This game is the reason to buy an Xbox 360. That's Dead Rising. The demo times out after 15 minutes or if you use an exit. I can tell you I played it for hours. Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting. Standard, it plays in a 4x4:3 ratio. However, you can change it to fill the screen. That's for those of you with widescreen. The demo only allows you to play Rue or Guile for one round. If you unlock it, you get online play, leaderboards, etc. I am still in doubt if I'm going to purchase it, but I think I will hold out for Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. The DVD player. No problems playing DVDs. It has some additional money shot features like like zoom up to 16 times and AB repeat. Keep repeating a period that you determine. Conclusion, Microsoft released an SDK so you can make your own Xbox Live arcade games. There are some great arcade games coming up, especially these two party games. One, Small Arms. This is basically a brawler on a small play field with guns. Two, Castle Crashers. Has a unique cartoon graphics to it, but it plays like Golden Axe as far as I can tell. That could be pretty cool. It is really aimed at the adult gamer, which I of course am, although Live Arcade does offer a lot for family fun games. I really think the PS3 doesn't stand a chance if I look at the upcoming games and the price. Also, the PS3 uses the PSP menu, which I am not that impressed with. It doesn't compete with the Wii, so Peter's remark that the people will additionally buy a Wii is believable. That's Peter Moore. However, I thought the release list of the Wii did not contain a lot of innovative titles that use the Wiimote in such a way that they will be an advantage over a normal controller. Also, a lot of titles are available for other platforms and are mature. So keep up the work and take some vitamins. Regards, Tommy. Dude, my jaw is killing me. That was a hell of a good email about the Xbox 360 because it not only clears up some things that maybe some people didn't know, but we got to learn a little bit about it and a little bit more about it. And it's like, we want one bad enough. Like, I think both of us have kind of come to the conclusion that that's the second console to have.
Yep, that will be the second console in the Cobar house.
Absolutely. I don't see the George Foreman PlayStation sitting in my entertainment center right away. I just don't see it. Especially for the price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a little hard to swallow. Blu-ray player or not.
Especially, I don't have an HD TV.
Yeah, me neither.
So, I mean, well, what's the real point? And really, how many people do? HDTVs are still pretty damn rare.
Wait about another 2 years, I think. Two more years will probably be a hell of a lot more affordable, and there'll be in a lot more homes. And we'll probably be looking at an Xbox 720 anyway by then.
Well, we'll see, because, like, I'm pretty sure was the FCA or somebody
FCC.
FCC, someone who handles this stuff.
2008, 2009?
I thought it was 2007 at first.
It was 2003 to begin with, then they bumped it to like 2006, then they bumped it to, it's either 8 or 9, I'm sure that they've bumped it that many times.
What we're talking about is they were going to change all television, boom,
yeah,
to HD, and so you needed either an HDTV or a converter, which would make it look like ass.
Yeah, and
be expensive.
Mm-hmm. But, so, I mean, I could get by on my TV just fine. It's a standard, like, 32-inch tube or whatever the hell, you know, a CRT-type style, not widescreen, and I can play games just fine on it. You know, it wouldn't bother me all that much, really. So I wouldn't be getting the best I could visual quality. But, you know...
Well, if I get an Xbox 360, I'm hooking it up to my monitor.
Right, right, yeah.
So,
I mean,
I can get the high definition.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be worth it. It would definitely be worth it. But, I mean, it's not going to break the console for me in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not going to, like... I'm not going to feel, oh, God, you know, this is not worth playing. I mean, no, it's the game is fun. And immersive, they have been this whole time. Why would it not be now? You know? I mean, so you're watching it on a different screen. I mean, it's not like my TV's broken or anything or weird and I need a new one. It's just that there's not time for an HDTV here yet or the money. But that's, another thing. The Xbox Live Arcade stuff sounds pretty cool, but, like, I don't think it's as cool as what Nintendo wants to do. You know? Like, they've got a handful of games in there, but a large handful. They've got maybe a small pile. But it's like, I'm not going to play the fuck Frogger on my Xbox 360, okay? I don't care how big of a fan of Pac-Man I was. I'm not going to play it on my Xbox 360. I don't see it. I've got other things to do that and probably better.
Plus, Pac-Man would feel wrong without the stick.
Yeah, right. See, this goes back to the controls. You know, it's just not right. You could probably grip the little analog stick that way, and it would be kind of janky, but... there's an Xbox Live Arcade stick coming out, though, from, like, Mad Catz. Did you see that piece
of
crap? It looks more like a flight sim stick, and the buttons are on the face, but there's, like, an ass load of buttons on there. Because, you know, controllers aren't like they used to be.
Right.
The stick and two buttons. No, this thing's got, like, the stick and, like, a trigger on it and a thumb thing on it and maybe a second trigger on it and, like, 47 buttons on the face of it, you know?
You know, well, depending on the game in arcade, that could be kind of cool to have.
Yeah, maybe. Definitely, but not most of them. I just don't see it being... Something more like the NES Advantage? Was that the one that was like the arcade
The gigantic
thing?
Gray thing?
Yeah. Something like that, you know, that would be really cool. I don't know, I mean, it's just a matter now of basically having a spare $400 and some amount of money for a game or two. Like, Cameo's like $30 on sale this week, you know, in some places. And I've wanted to play that for a while.
It's going to be all about Gears of War.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I can see Cameo and that Dead Rising game.
Dead Rising, that looks pretty cool, too.
Maybe even Tony Hawk.
Is that like the cart? It's like cartoony, right?
I have never played it. No idea.
Oh.
No idea. But I do believe we're going to have an in-depth review of it, or at least some kind of a better look at it here in the near future, though.
There's a couple people in the channel playing it.
Yeah, in the IRC that have been talking about it and whatnot, and we need to look into it some more and talk about it. So, in other Xbox news, we talked about Grid Wars before.
Right, which is the clone to Geometry Wars.
Which is like the best-selling Xbox Live Arcade game, I guess.
Basically, Grid Wars got shut down. Mark Incity, creator of Geometry Wars clone Grid Wars, pulled the project, he says, out of respect for Bizarre Creations, the company responsible for Geometry Wars in Xbox Live Arcade. Offered to change the name and offered disclaimers and in-game links to Geometry Wars. BC claims their sales are hurting because of the copyright infringer, and they are aggressively protecting their copyright.
Now, I missed... Yeah, basically, he offered, you know, I'll change the name and all this crap like that. I didn't quite word it right now, and I heard somebody else read it. But, you know, he offered to change the name, put links to them in there, and they are, like, pissed off. They are really upset about this now. And nobody, I guess, has said anything yet if they're going after the other ones. Remember, we got email... Two different emails in the same show about some of the other games that are just like it. I don't know if they've gotten cease and desist letters yet. But that's some bullshit.
Well, if I had an Xbox 360, I'd pay the $5 for Geometry Wars. It looks like it's faster, it's crisper. I mean, there's definite advantages to having the paid version. And at $5...
I almost don't want to now, though. It's like these guys are bastards. Some dude just makes this game that plays like theirs, and, well, okay, his fault is it looks a lot like theirs.
Frankly, he should have made the characters look different.
Yeah.
Different
enough
shapes.
Yep, then he could have been like, you know what, fuck yourselves, you know?
And he should have done that.
Now, the guy's doing it out of, you know, respect for them, for Bizarre Creations. He said he doesn't want any confusion and yada yada. They probably are threatening all kinds of shit, more than likely. Who knows? But anyway, it's a fairly fun game. I don't like it as much as everybody else liked it. Now, granted, I was playing Grid Wars, not Geometry Wars, so maybe it's a little bit different, but I don't think it's something I would sit and play. I really don't see me sitting there and playing that for... It's
addictive.
It's not. I've had it here, and I just can't keep playing it for more than, like, 20 minutes. I just can't. It's just not... I don't know why. It's just not. But, so I want, you know, I want to make sure, I'm sure a lot of people want to make sure they get their hands on those files, you know, before they disappear, because you cannot get them from the creator's website anymore. Okay, you search up Grid Wars, it takes you off to his site. I can't remember what the hell it is now, it's something weird. But you can still get them, for now, I guess, from http://gridwars.com. It's maroon, but spelled weird. MARUNE.DE. You can still get the OS X, Linux, and Windows version from there as of right today. I did. Come get me. What else we got in the news there? I'm tired.
All right.
My jaw hurts.
Well, Nintendo has officially priced in Japan the Wii for 19,800 yen.
No. Nintendo didn't price that at that.
They didn't?
No, there's a company, like, you know, we have, like, what are those companies? What do they do? They're like,
financial forecasters and...
Something like that, right? So there's one in Tokyo called Nikon Citigroup, and they basically look at, you know, you're for investors. They basically tell investors this is what's going on,
okay,
right?
Okay.
So they put out a report that says they forecast a price point of 19,800 yen, about $170, for the cost of the Wii.
Oh.
Right. That's like an estimate.
Okay.
You know, they're guessing.
The cost to make it.
Right.
I must have misunderstood this article a little bit.
Yes, that's,
I was thinking that that's what they were thinking they were going to sell it for.
They could, but they won't.
No. Okay, so the point is that it's very likely this is going to end up being $199.99 in America. Because I guess the CPU is going to cost less than Nintendo was predicting.
Right, yeah, and I guess that allows them to save just enough to keep it, well, I think $30 for a $200 item is well below cost, I think. You know, like, perceived cost of something that, like this. I think that's a pretty solid chunk of change to make per unit sold. These things are going to sell like hotcakes. So that's a considerable chunk of change coming to Nintendo. Stock's going up. People are excited. They want this damn thing. They're going to buy it like crazy. I know I am.
And software is always the more important moneymaker.
Right, yeah, absolutely. So we'll see what that does. We'll see how that works. And it's time for the most exciting news that you've waited all year for. This is the game to end all games. This is the reason gamers exist today, and the market keeps going. That lovely company, Electronic Arts, that provides the sweet fruit from the garden for all of us gamers to enjoy, is releasing Madden 2007 two days from now.
Yay.
Madden 2007. Yeah.
For everything.
And we mean... everything.
I'm surprised the Super Nintendo was not on this list.
No shit, huh? No, the PlayStation 1 isn't there, is it?
No, it's not. No.
I'm surprised that that's not on that list.
06 was, wasn't it? Or was 05 the last
crap,
one?
I don't know. Smite me, EA, for not knowing.
They made it for the PS1 for a long-ass
they
time,
did.
Though.
Way longer than they should have.
But this thing's going to be on the 360, the PS2, the GameCube, PC, the PSP, the Nintendo DS, and the GBA.
The fucking Game Boy Advance. And they also even have, like, a Hall of Fame edition for the 360 and the PlayStation 2.
I'm kind of surprised they don't have one for the Xbox. Maybe just because the 360's out.
Oh, maybe, huh? Yeah, and Microsoft did kind of like, psst, cut the cord!
Well, Xbox not on this list, but they are selling it for Xbox.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, Xbox 2. Well, just a regular edition.
You just ruined my joke then. Okay, damn. What are the prices of those bad boys?
They jump all the way from $70 for the Hall of Fame version of the 360 to $30 for the GBA.
Damn. Now, the only... Oh, what did you say?
Why are we covering this?
Why? Because people care.
You shouldn't.
You should, right, you shouldn't. But people care, damn it. Now, what's pretty interesting about this, though, is that I guess there's a one fairly obvious, fat, glaring bug in the game, in at least the 360 version, that stands out, and I guess everybody that's been playing it, it's the talk is all over message boards and on closed forums from code reviewers. I guess the beta testers, that your players, your team, their fatigue bar never goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of these people have flat out said, I have played the entire game with the same dudes, and I work them the hardest, and they never get fatigued. Okay, so it's not working,
right,
is what they're saying. EA says, it's working, but you get fatigue at a much lower pace than you did in previous games and versions, and it's just the UI isn't drawing the little bar moving down. We're going to issue a patch soon. That's what EA's official stance is. They're going to issue a patch soon. Your Xbox 360...
Isn't it already gold?
Dude, it's... Yeah, we have it. It's there. It comes out in 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's good to go. It's done. And their official quote from some dude named David Ortiz, it's going to come out very soon. This is the patch. Very soon, around the release date, we just don't shove the fix out there. We don't want to slide the balance too far in one direction. Sounds like you just shoved the game out there, though. Assholes.
How did they not notice a fatigue part not going down?
You know, I can understand funky bugs, you know, like...
Stuff that if this situation right. happens, then something weird happens.
Right.
Every single game, this bar did not go down.
Yeah. How do you let that slide? What the hell? All right, well, we got a chance to play the entire one-level demo of a game called, this is thanks to Kizzle, he pointed this out to me, and it's fucked up because I saw this too, and I'm like, we gotta look into this game. And of course, my lazy ass doesn't do it until I get motivated from an outside source. Kizzle the Motivator says, dude, check out Darwinia. Now, so you can get it from darwinia.co.uk. It's $30, comes in three different flavors, Linux, OS 10, and Windows, so that all of the goodness can be enjoyed from everybody. Now, the first thing I'm gonna tell you, is darwinia.co.uk because you need to go read the quick and simple little easy guide that they have on the website. It's like the manual. It teaches you how to play.
I mean, not just wandering around lost and not knowing a dirty thing.
For a good half an hour to 45 minutes is no bueno, okay? I've stumbled around for a while trying to figure out. And the little, and like the dude, like the real life guy that likes trying to teach you and walk you through the tutorial, he's brutally slow, and like he just numbed my brain listening to this guy. Mm-hmm. So read the guide. It's like it'll take you like 10 minutes tops. I mean, it's not like all wordy and stuff either. It's like a paragraph and a picture of whatever it is that you're looking at. A paragraph and a picture of how to do it, you know?
And then you'll know.
Yeah, and then you've got it down. That's all you need to do. And it's actually quite fun once you get past like the tutorial section of the little demo part. Now, basically what this is... The game takes place in, like, cyberspace, and the graphics reflect that. How can I best describe it? It has a nice look, graphic quality to it,
particularly,
a different style.
Yeah, particularly the style of it.
Right.
It's very fresh and interesting.
It's nice.
But it's kind of blocky.
Yeah, it's very blocky.
Especially the controllable characters. The units that you actually move around.
Everything else is like sharp though,
yeah,
and pretty slick, except for your two things that you can control.
Mm.
They're blurry or something.
Like each one has like 12 pixels.
Right, and they like change shades randomly, it seems like, of whatever color it's about. It's bizarre.
Mm.
And at first it didn't really bother me until I got a good look around the game. And Kobar is bitching about it for a while, and I was like, you're insane. And then I get a good look at how nice the graphics are and everything else. And once that sunk in, and the camera zooms in on my dudes, like, midway through the game, and I'm like, ugh, what the hell happened? It's really bizarre. Now, okay.
But it's okay.
Yeah, it was playable. You know, it wasn't like it ruined the game or anything. It was just kind of bizarre. So now, basically, you have Darwinians. These are little green stick figures. Two-sided stick figures, your little cyber citizens, that kind of wander around and you can't control them, like, directly, okay? And they inhabit cyberspace. They live on your server.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's an evil virus, the Red Army, these little red dudes, little red stick figure guys, two-sided little man going to the bathroom looking type dudes. And,
but now the Red Army also has a lot more units than you do. They have centipede looking dudes.
Oh, right.
And all different kinds of different enemies.
Enemies and stuff. But their main dudes are these little red people and you have little green people. That's like their population, really.
Right.
But then there's like these critters and little viruses and like these trail virus things. If you ever put the snake game on like basic, like MS-DOS basic, they kind of look like that, but like cooler graphic effects. And, so anyway, basically they're the virus and they're bad. They've invaded your server. You have control over two units. You have squads and engineers. Now you have like only, it seems, okay, in the demo at least, four controllable units at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could make it four squads, I imagine, or four engineers. I never had that. I always had a mix. So like I had, you know, X amount of dudes for whatever I was doing. And I generally needed a lot of engineers to pump out these little green dudes. Your squads are like your combat units, okay? The only combat units that you can control. You right-click to shoot, and if you get like a special, like an upgrade, you can, while you're holding down right-click to shoot your dude's lasers at the bad guys, you can left-click, just tap the left-click while you're still holding down the right-click, and you can like lob a grenade or whatever. In the demo, you only get a grenade.
There's probably other weapons.
Yeah, there's quite a few because they're selectable. Like, I think you only have one at a time, because there's like a little circle around your guy and little circles of your additions, your add-ons, your upgrades, and it looks like you have to pick, which is pretty cool because you can just change it really quick, you know, as you need. Now, you get squads of like five dudes and you just kind of left-click the map and they walk around and then you just, you know, fight the enemies. Now, the enemies, when they die and when your little green dudes die, they leave behind like a single block character. You know what it looks like the graphics are? Like, imagine a pixel, okay? Like, like picture Mario Brothers. Now focus in, zoom your mind's eye in on Mario. Now zoom in on his nose, which is made up of like four pixels. Now zoom in on one pixel. Now make that one pixel like quarter of an inch by quarter of an inch. Okay? That's what we're looking at for like the graphics of this game for the most part, it seems like. Everything's kind of big and blocky, but well done. And
it definitely feels like it was designed to be that way.
Right.
Because it's throwing like an old school vibe out or something.
Mm-hmm. You're inside cyberspace, you know. So when they die, they leave like this sized pixel deal laying around, which is like a soul. And you have engineers which can go around and harvest the soul, but you don't have any direct effect. Like, you can't just click a soul. You just maneuver your engineer to the neighboring area of some, and then just stop doing anything with them, and he'll just start picking them up. And he can pick up a few, and that number gets upgraded as you research upgrades. Mm-hmm. So as you wander around the map, you'll come across enemies and whatnot, and blow them away, and you have an engineer or two in tow, and the enemies will sometimes be guarding, like, this weird little cube, which isn't made up of crappy graphics. It's a really nice-looking item.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get up on it. Your engineer will, like, study it and beam it up to wherever because it kind of goes away and up. And you've researched, like, an upgrade. And it's like the doctor's research or something that he's done that's scattered throughout the machine or whatever. And it can, like, give your guys grenades or, I guess, different weapons and upgrade your engineers to carry more souls or whatever. Now, once they max out on their souls, they head back to camp and they put them in this thing called an incubator that spits out little green dudes, your Darwinians, right? Now, you can flag one of those dudes. Well, you can have a couple at a time. I could not quite figure out to save my life exactly what limited the number of commanders that you could have. But you flag a dude as an officer. You flag him. So you're one of your little green guys becomes an officer, and now you can right-click him to, like, a waypoint. He won't move, but all the Darwinians that come spilling out of this incubator now go to wherever you have set the waypoint, the rally point at, right?
Right.
And then they'll start doing whatever they can do.
In that area.
In that area. So if there's nothing but dudes to attack, they'll start lobbing grenades if you have that upgrade or whatever. If they need to, you know, convert something over to your side, like you have to get five dudes around it and they say a chant or something, I don't know. They stand around it and they claim the item, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no, like, resources beyond souls, really, which just pumps out dudes really quick. So you've got this, like, army of green dudes while you're mainly kind of controlling your engineer and your squad group around. And your squad only consists of, like, five dudes. Now, you have goals in the map. In the demo map in particular, this is demo number two. They canceled the original demo with one map called the Mine or something. So this is the second demo with a rocket ship in it. And basically, you have to turn on, like, what looks like solar panels, basically, to power this ship. And there's quite a few of these panels out there. So you have to go in there, attack the enemies, kill them, bring in your Darwinians, and take over the solar panels, and it powers up part of the ship. And there's it's pretty fun, actually. Like, the demo's rough for the first part of it. I was really bored off my ass. But once you learn exactly what you can and cannot do, you find it is fairly simple to play. And runs really good. And I don't know. I had a good time with it. I had a really good time with it.
It seems to have a lot of potential. It would be nice to see some of the more advanced maps.
Right, yeah, because I'd like to know exactly what more you can do. Right, because it would get pretty boring trying to do the same thing over and over and over again. But the
like
demo
how
map
big
was
the,
fun.
The opposing army gets.
Yeah, and how smart that their AI gets, because they don't seem too bright. Roll up on you. They won't, like, try to fight you back and take the map. They'll fight you for the ground you're on.
Right.
Once you claim that ground and push them out, they don't seem to kind of, like, progress anymore. You know, like, now you got to fight at their next waypoint or whatever, their next gathering place. They won't seem to, like, push you back anymore. It's weird. But then again, that might just be the demo. It might be geared that way so you can actually play it and beat it on the first try and get a good feel for the game.
Mm.
I'd like to check out the full game. However, it's $30. If it's a fairly short game, which it's gotta be, I just don't know if I can quite throw down 30 bones for that game. I could see 15 real easy, though.
I could even see 20.
Maybe. But 15, I could definitely see that.
But $30 for 90% of the indie games that I've ever played is starting to get pretty rough.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, obviously, just being indie doesn't mean it's going to be bad, but it does mean that they probably didn't have as much time or resources to put into it.
Yeah, right.
And it's going to be a little shorter.
The Warcraft 3 Battle Chest is on sale this week at Best Buy for $30.
Yeah, just like we said for...
Right, now how do you compare Warcraft fucking 3 for the same price?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unless you absolutely loathe real-time strategy games.
Which you wouldn't like Darwinian anyway.
You know, yeah, because
it is rather strategy.
Right, definitely.
RTS-like.
Yeah, not like Warcraft in any way, but
no.
Definitely it's a real-time strategy game. And I don't know, that's a tough call, because that game is polished, and it's just fantastic. It's an oldie. Just because, you know, Darwinia is new, well, relatively, it's actually been around for a while, hasn't it? Like a year, I think.
Something like
it's
that.
It's been a long time. Just because it's newer doesn't mean it's better. You know?
It's tough to justify that kind of price.
It is. This is why I've been looking at old games so much lately. I'm like, you know what? Every game that I see now, I'm not too pleased with. Been playing a lot of Quake 3, Unreal Tournament, fooling around with Doom 3, once in a while just to blow some shit up. Dungeon Siege 2 is not that old, but I've been playing that because Diablo 2 is just ancient, and it was ancient when it came out. You know, so I mean, there's just a small collection of games that are like you have to have, and it seems like a lot of this other crap I'm able to just cut out now. I just don't even look at it.
Or wait until it gets
$20,
yeah.
And then we'll take another glance at it, because they're not worth $50. Most of this shoveled out crap, no way. Now, we got two movie reviews, and I'm sad to say they're not very good movies. I'll do the worst one first, I guess. Something possessed me to rent Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector. And he's that redneck dude that hangs out with Jeff Foxworthy on that blue-collar TV. What, are you missing a page or something?
I guess so.
Oh.
Nope.
I don't know how that happened. Oh, okay. And anyway, so Larry plays this redneck guy. Imagine that. But he's a health inspector in the city. And he, like, gets partnered up with some chick who's, like, this little tiny chick, like, she's small. Mm-hmm. Like, she's short and skinny and small. He's this big, fat redneck dude, right? And he keeps calling her him. Like, the whole movie, it's, like, hilarious, because she kind of looks like a man, you know, no real curves and whatnot where they should be. And he keeps calling her him and boy and, you know, all of it. It's pretty funny. And, he does his job really good. You know, he basically brings in the most infractions and shuts down the most places for you know, bad health conditions for food and serving food, right? But his boss can't stand him, and the guy who plays his boss just sucks. I mean, like, I'm watching it, and the whole time I was like, why is this guy acting like he's acting? Why is he, like...
Right.
Like, I see him, like, overreacting to Larry, and it's like, nothing really set him up to get all that worked up. Why is he just that high-strung? Like, there's no reason. They should have kind of developed him a little better. Towards the end, he's got a reason to be kind of worked up, but the whole movie, he acts like it's the end of the world. And it's just like, there's no real reason. It's not even like a personality because he doesn't act like that only until Larry gets around for some reason. You know, and he doesn't really give a whole lot of reasons. He says, "Oh yeah, Larry causes you cause damage." Okay, great. Don't freaking yell and stomp around like Steve Ballmer does. Developers, developers. So anyway, these two cruise around the city and they visit local restaurants. And overall, it's just not very exciting. The movie's like main plot is that there's a cook-off. And between like maybe five really high class restaurants, I mean really high class places, and like some black friend of his pancake and fried chicken place. I swear to God, right? I know. So it's like already okay, whatever. And his buddy, you know,
a bunch of 5-star restaurants and a greasy spoon.
You know, yeah, exactly. But his buddy is this really nice guy who has all these hopes and dreams of winning this thing and opening up a chain of his fried chicken and pancake restaurant around the world, you know, and it's a $250,000 prize. And, I mean, that's the plot is that you're going, the end-all be-all of it is that. And throughout the movie, what happens is people are getting sick at these high-class restaurants, right? So, like, there's one day a week where everybody there gets hella sick, like they're being poisoned. And, you know, Larry and, what's her name, Amy Butlin follows him around, so they cruise around together to these restaurants to investigate exactly what's going on. Well, that's really all there is to it, unfortunately. Pepper it with some, you know, redneck jokes and some one-liners, and that's what you've got. They've got this really lame-ass character with, like, some unibrow and like, this chick, and her hair is all fucked up, and she's, like, half retarded and whatnot. It's just stupid, right? And
are the one-liners at least funny?
There's, like, four of them that I was rolling, I think. Not even four. I think there was four times where I laughed and one where I was actually laughing my ass off. One line in the whole movie I thought was great, and peppered throughout it was maybe a joke or two that was worth, you know, a quarter. You know? I mean, really, that's all there is. Unfortunately. The only other good thing about this movie was the chick who plays the hot chick. You know how every movie's got, like, the hot chick that somehow winds up with the total never in real life would wind up with that dude.
Right.
You know, the hot chick, what was her name? I wrote it down. Megan Price, M-E-G-Y-N, Megan Price. She's like the hot chick character and runs into Larry at some point, you know. And she's cute, so it makes the movie a little bit easier to watch when she's on the screen. And Larry's jokes just are mostly tired. I was really not too happy with the movie. Basically, it's a lot of toilet humor also. I mean, seriously, lots of gas and farting and time spent in the bathroom. Right. Lots of time because they're sick. So they've got bad gas and the shits and lots of, you know, I've got to take the Browns to the Super Bowl and all this kind of jokes, you know. It's just not that funny after, you know, the first three jokes.
Right.
And it just laid out flat. It was pretty bad.
Well, how much were you expecting from Larry the Cable Guy?
I know.
I mean, his best joke is, get her in.
Right, and he just, I'll ruin it for you. The movie ends, it's like done, and then he looks at the camera and says, get her done. And like, that's it. Bam, you're done. You know, that's it. Now, I gave this movie $1 out of $8.75. It's just not worth watching unless you've got a thing for Megan Price, I guess. That would be like the only reason why. Yeah, that's about it. Now, the other show was better. It was better. It's called The Benchwarmers, and this is from, like, you know how we've got those, like, comedy groups of people these days, it seems like? Your Vince Vaughn and his entourage of people, right, who do comedy movies together. This is the Rob Schneider, David Spade group. You know, Tim Meadows is in this, John Lovitz, and the douchebag.
I like John Lovitz.
John Lovitz was great in this.
I have no real reason to like John Lovitz.
No, he's fucking hilarious. He's like a little penguin.
The Critic was great.
He's a good actor. I like, and he's funny. And just the way he can just kind of spout shit off, and yeah. I don't know. Everything I've seen him in, he's been actually pretty good. So he's a decent guy. David Spade, I can do without. Kind of a little twerp. Rob Schneider, I never really took serious at all as a decent actor until I saw this movie.
Yeah.
He does a fucking incredible job in this movie. I couldn't believe it. It's nuts, yeah. And then John, what is this now? Heater? Header? H-E-D-E-R. He's Napoleon. from Napoleon Dynamite. He's that guy.
Oh, okay.
The kid with the fucking hair.
Right.
So in this one, he's got like long stringy hair and a helmet on the entire freaking movie. And him and David Spade basically play, they're like brothers and they're like retarded. They're just, or something. They're just like dumb as all can be. Now, Rob Schneider plays like the guy who's like together, who's got it down. You know, he's got a girlfriend and he's got his own business and he's like not the retarded guy in the movie. He's not Deuce Bigelow. He's, you know, he's not some strange random character that makes a comment or two here and there, you know. Who else was in there? Oh.
You can do it. Okay.
You know what I mean? What is that? Come on. So anyway, this movie's about a couple of guys who they were picked on as nerds in school. They were picked on. They were nerds. They were not the jocks. They did not play baseball and whatnot. Now, Rob Schneider did. He was the more normal, average kid. So he played baseball. He was pretty good at it and whatnot. And the movie kind of starts out with a bunch of kids, like three or four kids, young-ass kids, just trying to have a good time, play some catch and hit a ball around at the local baseball diamond, right? Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, a pack of, like, the jock kids, and this is, like, middle school, though. It's, like, hella young. They roll in, and they're, like, mean, dude. They're, like, high school mean, but they're, like, little middle school kids, you know? And they, like, knock some kid over and fart on his face. I mean, they're just mean as all hell. And they're, like, throwing them off the field because they got a game, you know, and they're the jocks. So they're supposed to be mean and brutal, apparently, you know. So basically they kick him off the field, and Rob Schneider sees all this happen and kind of feels bad for him and talks to him and gets into, like, an argument with these, like, jock kids.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, he challenges them to a game. Now, his only buddies that he knows are these two idiots, John Heater and David Spade, right? Who can barely catch a ball, let alone play a game, you know, that have rules and strategy.
Right.
But he's really good. So basically, they play. Them two guys are just kind of standing there for the whole movie. They, like, don't do anything. They're there for comedy. Basically, the John Heater, Header guy, whatever his name is, gets hit in the head a lot, falls down a lot. David Spade makes some bad one-liner jokes a lot. That's basically why they're in this movie. Rob Schneider is like the hero character. You know, he's the guy that's standing up for the nerds and the poor kids, you know, and the geeks and all these guys that got made fun of back in school and had a hell of a time.
So these are adults playing middle school kids?
Yes. Full-grown adults, okay? And I mean, it's terrible because at some point, you know, you're like, how ridiculous is this? These grown adults playing these little, like, middle school kids. But then at the same time, being one of those kids that was picked on, it's kind of like, this movie has, like, a special place in my heart because of where they're going with this, you know? And it was really, by the end of it, you had, like, this feel good to you. You know what I mean? You were like, yeah, you know, taking one back for the not so popular jock kids, you know, non-jock kids. You know what I mean? It was something else. But basically, he challenges these kids to this game, and of course these kids now, they're the jocks, their parents were the jocks in school too. Mm-hmm. So of course they have the dads come in there of the jock kids, and they're of course, you know, the big burly ripped football player type dudes or whatever, right? And they're still assholes, okay?
Right.
And so they end up somehow running into John Lovitz's character, who's he made millions somehow on the internet, and he was, you know, a big nerd too, and his son was the kid that, like, got farted on or whatever. So he felt bad, didn't want his son to feel bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, doesn't it break your heart? I mean, there's like this whole, like, real tugging those heartstrings, you know, in this movie about it for some people, I think. And basically he says, I'll fund like a tournament. You three versus all of these assholes. And you just tour the county or whatever and play all the different teams from all the different places. And I'll bet them that you can win, and I'll bet them like a new $1 million stadium. Because he can afford it. It doesn't matter. And they're like, yeah, whatever. It'll be cool. And it kind of gets blown out of proportion from there. So basically they're traveling around and they're playing all these crazy teams. And it's actually not bad. I really liked it. Reggie fucking Jackson is in this movie.
What?
Right? You know the guy? I got the baseball.
Right.
Right. He's in this movie. And I'm like, that's really cool. I used to be a big baseball fan when I was a kid. So watching this, I was like, oh, yeah, to see Reggie Jackson. I mean, he was just one of the fucking greatest guys when I was growing up. So it was pretty neat. You know, I really enjoyed it. Probably more than I should have for a rental. And, well, I'd say $5 out of $8.75. I liked it more than your average rental, for sure. You know, and if the average rental's like $4 these days, it would have been rough to, you know, throw down almost $9 to hit up a theater for that, though, because it wasn't a solid movie.
You wouldn't have felt too bad at a matinee, though.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, it was a good movie. It was actually a pretty good movie, and I would suggest going to watch it. It was good stuff.
Very good.
Yep. So, like, next week, oh yeah, we gotta throw this down real quick. Next week we'll start the fall preview shows. We're gonna have at least, it looks like two of them. And the plan is to have episode 130-131 detailing the upcoming games this fall. We have to thank Riboflavin, as he did all of the legwork for us. He's basically got like this 17 or so page list with, bam, this is coming out for this system. There's a little bit about it, or a link to it, so we can read up on it and kind of go through the things, because
a few jokes here and there.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to work those in, because I'm using his list as like a guide. Template. Yeah, more of like a guide for what we're going to kind of do. But then I talked to him about it. We decided on this two-show preview of what we're going to be talking about in the future, because there ain't shit happening right now. Mm-hmm. We're having a good time kind of messing around and taking it a little bit easier. Cause
soon it's going to explode.
Dude, I know, because it sucks, because we have to work our ass off through like...
September, end October.
Of, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
Till February, maybe end of January, it's pretty rough. So it's like...
Wish we could, like, spread this out a little more.
Yeah, I know. Like, even it out, give us some
good
games.
When are they going to realize that nerd kids, the ones who really like to play video games, they're not outside during summer, they got all their free time!
Exactly, exactly. Alrighty, so, see you next week.
Later.
Once in a while, maybe you will feel the urge to break international copyright law by downloading MP3s from file sharing sites like Morpheus or Grokster or LimeWire or Kazaa. But deep in your heart, you know the guilt would drive you mad, and the shame would leave a permanent scar. 'Cause you start out stealing songs, then you're robbing liquor stores, and selling crack, and running over school kids with your car. So don't download this song. Treat you like the evil, hard-bitten criminal scum you are.